Hi, I'm Ruslan. So the intent here is to establish a new park for New York City residents. No big deal, right? My proposal is will deal with three main areas. It will modify edge conditions to allow for controlled sea level rise and non-destructive future storm impacts. It will repurpose the excess concrete runways for recreational use and establish a resiliency lab and a public promenade. I will start just looking at where it is situated, zooming out and seeing that Floyd Bennett Field is a part of Gateway National Recreation Area that is situated in the most populated area in the United States, in New York City. So it's a wonderful resource for open space. In green, there are waterfront parks. That's what New York City thinks parkland is. And there's a lot of it. However, we can see that Floyd Bennett Field has a different shape, different form factor. It's the largest part of it. And so some of the design moves will stem from this fact. We should also remember that looking at just real estate values in New York City, this is the last remaining open space that's controlled by combination of federal government and the city. And it can become really a wonderful place for something very new, something that doesn't exist in urban areas before in terms of open space in 21st century. Okay, well, looking at what's going on in the Bay right now, there are surface water typologies that tell us about the types of ecologies that exist in the Bay. And we can see that Floyd Bennett Field, it's right here, it's mostly blank. I mean, it is blank. So how do we pool some of those existing typologies and kind of reclaim Floyd Bennett Field and make it not blank? Those are the areas today that are vulnerable to floods. In green, it's 100% flood events. So you can see that most of the Floyd Bennett Field is pretty protected. The topography there is high enough to be pretty resilient as is, unlike some other places in the Bay. So again, this makes a good case for next site for urban park. It's the same information, but translated into 2050, we can see that vulnerable areas to flooding expand significantly. In green, again, it's 1% annual flood event or 100-year floodplain. And in yellow, it's a 500-year floodplain, which we shouldn't worry too much about it. But this green is shows where floods will happen in the future. This is the same information overlaid on Google Earth image and this historic the map that shows current programming. And we can see that some of the uses, especially here on the east side of it, will be impacted and will have to either relocate or adjust. Now, I think search is a critical element in any design. Arguably, it's more important than sea level rise because it's the most kind of a violent event. We all know what happened during Hurricane Sandy. And in red are those category one zones that impacted by category one hurricanes, which is the the smallest, the lightest storm by this category. Anyways, now it is the same information is overlaid over the map. We can see that here in the north, especially, the northern part is impacted. This part where there is there are some uses that isn't impacted as heavily because of the topography here, and some parts over here, but my focus will be on the northern and eastern areas. So, keeping that in mind, another aspect that I will include in my design is the shoreline change. In red is the modern shoreline today, and the rest of the map is from 1900. So we can see that there used to be a pretty extensive creek system of it was called Little Bay, which is now buried underneath of all this fill. This is the same map highlighting the Little Bay Creek system that's still there, and on top of it is what we have today, which is the concrete runways. So the size of the creek and runways, I mean, it's kind of speaks for itself. In this slide, I'm sort of looking for the purpose of cutting and filling, and this idea of controlled inundation. We know that sea level will rise and it will impact some of the areas, but how can we control that process so that it doesn't, change the park in dramatic ways by itself? So this area here, I feel the conditions come together. So we have this existing historic creek system that is buried underneath of the field, 100-year floodplain that can be modified to reveal the underlying soils to support the type of vegetation that we want. Again, surge, we see these two spots are prone to the surging tides. This is where most intervention will take place. Those are the sites for cutting. Another layer is bathymetry. So we need to look what is underwater. And what's underwater is that this area in black, it's 6 feet deep. So we can see that in this area and that area is pretty shallow. So if we're filling some of the areas here, we don't need as much fill, and next layer is 18 feet deep. So again, this area is a good place for fill. why fill? It's because we want to preserve public access to the shoreline. Right now, public can access this place, and we should keep it this way because there are some views, as Brett mentioned, to the Brooklyn and. Okay, so this is just a summary of where I'm cutting and where I'm filling, and it's a concept. This is more refined concept. Again, you can see the old creek and areas that are going to be filled here. We have to look at soils to edit those conditions. I categorize them as low-quality soils and like a fly ash. In these areas that shouldn't be touched, should be capped, like I'm showing here. This will modify the form of the cutting in. This is how this is my concept for editing of the runways, making them much thinner and perforating them. So highlighted are the areas I'm focusing in, and this is the site plan that we have. This North 40 modified topography, vegetated or covered runways, terrestrial ecotone resiliency lab located on this site, and aquatic ecotone lab located on this site. It will have public access via bicycle path and preserve historic core. Just zoomed into Resiliency Lab, and you can see the barrier islands of the aquatic lab right here. This is the barrier island metrics. I read some reports that show that the slope has to be minimum at 120 for successful vegetation establishment. And this is a sample section from the middle of the island, to the water edge. So we establish eelgrass, sea lettuce, underwater, different species of spartinus, sea lavender, and other plants. This is a concept for covering some of the runways, not all of them. Again, we're going from this condition to this condition via covering up to 3 feet high of soil. And this is just kind of an experiential view of how one of the runways might look like. I think many of us picked up on this idea of openness, and we want to preserve the feel of the runways. And I feel like the feel will be preserved, but in a meaningful way. So we have some vegetation here covered with soil, existing subgrade stays. I'm cutting out some chunks of the concrete for water management purposes and putting them in these gabions to display and for nature to take over. And this reddish kind of, it's a material is a recycled brick from some of the buildings, dilapidated buildings on the south side. So basically everything stays on the island, everything gets repurposed with the vegetation. And the last point is this idea of ecotones and their interactions and how this can be expressed in design of the terrestrial ecotone lab. This is how it's going to look like. Conceptually, it will have restored marshes, it will have kayak and fishing pier. Resiliency lab will be housed in the existing building, the hangar building there. And this is just a small example of ecologies that can be recreated in those pods. You can see that I'm just providing all these plants here. Existing conditions, and this is what might it look like. I mean, the scale is pretty big, which is nice. And sorry I rushed through it, but thanks.
Question.
Go ahead. Go this time. We're trying not to speak over each other. I think, kind of from this high-level view, your ecotone concept is really interesting. I like the idea of developing a pattern of vegetation types. I think that's it's a concept that people can understand. It's good for educational purposes. It's enjoyable, but it's also useful in having a varied palette. I would have liked to know a little more about the cut fill part of it. I was intrigued by that, and it seemed to me like it had merit. But I think you need to kind of flesh it out a little bit and explain what its merit is. I think the bathymetry around Floyd Bennett really needs to be examined and to see how that can contribute to resiliency and as far as storm attenuation goes. So I think that would be a really good concept to take even further than you have. But overall, very good.
I thought your presentation was very good. You set up a very clear process throughout that it was very easy to follow from overall context, the history. I thought it was just very clear how you showed what could be cut, why you were making these interventions. Nice job on graphics and overall presentation. And the ecotone concept too. I agree. It's a good way for for educational purposes to introduce in a very small area, the complexity of natural resources. Can you expand a little bit on the northern?
Go back.
The ecotone
sure.
That you were proposing there was.
Yeah. So the idea was, again, to make this cut and change in topographies to provide a controlled inundation of the area, because we know this area will flood as seen from the maps, and how do we make sure that it floods while restoring some of the conditions that I'm trying to reveal, where I show that old creek, all those soils that used to support the type of marsh vegetation 100 years ago mm-hmm. can be again revealed, and they can perform the same purpose. And there isn't anything like that in Floyd Bennett Field right now. There's something in other parts of the gateway. So, but if you just open this up, I felt the search would probably disturb a lot of this vegetation. That's why I'm using some of this material taking away from here to create those barrier islands. And they, these islands can support completely different types of ecologies than terrestrial habitats. So we can have maybe successful plantings of eelgrass. They tried and didn't work, but maybe when you change the conditions and you select different species on each island, that mm-hmm. might be a showcase. You know, each island can become a lab in itself for different varieties.
It's a nice concept, and you're creating an area where that might be able to happen. It's mm-hmm. you know, yeah. a little inlet area, it's not exposed, so it's a very nice job.
Awesome, thanks very much.
Thank you.